All right, I'd like for you to turn with me today to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew 11. Today, my message is actually a question. And the question is there rest for the weary? Is there rest for the weary? The Lord in Matthew 11 and verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Three verses, is there any rest for the weary? You know, there were times in the Lord's earthly life that he was thronged by great crowds. There were times when so many people were present. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She couldn't even get to him. The throng was so thick, she had to squeeze her way through the crowd just to touch to get to him, to touch him. So at times there were great crowds. Once he had the crowd sit down and he fed them, 5,000 people. Another time he fed 4,000 people. Another time he was in a house and he was teaching in the house. There were so many people that this group couldn't get their sick friend in there to him. So they had to tear the roof off the house to lower their sick friend down to the feet of Jesus so that the Lord could heal him. Sometimes these crowds were enormous. I want you to know that in that ancient time and in that ancient land, there were multitudes of people in that crowd that had terrific needs. There were people who were very poor. In fact, the majority of these people would have been poor. And providing basic needs for your family, just food, clothing, and shelter, would occupy the majority of their time and energy and thought. This was a poor country and a poor town, a poor time. You know that many of these people in these thick crowds, many of them would have been sick. Many of them would have been weak. Many of them would have just been weary from the toil and labor and effort. Many would have been malnourished. There were among them also the outcasts, the social rejects, the misfits, the sinners of all kinds, those that the Jews scorned. There would have been slaves, many slaves in this crowd, slaves of many nations, of many ethnicities. There would have been soldiers, there would have been Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians, and there would have been no doubt some Samaritans in the crowd and other Gentiles. There were some, without doubt, that were so oppressed and vexed that you would consider them demonized. So many faces that you would see in this crowd. Can you imagine looking at this crowd of people and seeing in them the weariness, the burden, the despair in their faces, faces etched with care, worry, anxiety, uncertainty? They lived in an area that was under Roman rule. The Romans were a cruel people to the Jews. Being a Jew would not have been an easy thing at the time. I can imagine the Lord looking at these crowds, at these faces, and seeing in them such weariness. You know what happens? People begin to think that it's never going to change. They begin to think that their life is never going to get any better than it is right now. That there's, I mean, I see it in our own community. I see it in the crowds of people when you look at their faces. it's almost as though you can see people wondering, is it ever going to get any better than this? Is my life always going to be an endless cycle of just trying to get by, just trying to make a living? Am I always going to be worried and anxious and fearful? Is there ever going to be any rest? Any real rest in this world? Well, apart from Jesus, no. Apart from Jesus, no rest in this world and no rest in the next. There are so many cemeteries that have RIP on the gravestones, you know, rest in peace. And yet, you know, multitudes of those who were buried there are not resting in any peace whatsoever. They are in torment. Because apart from Jesus, there is no rest. There is no respite. I would imagine that the Lord looked at crowds of people, these crowds, and in them saw diminishing hope for any change in their lives. And here is what he tells this crowd. He says to them, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, all ye that are heavy laden." Now, who among those crowds wouldn't have been laboring and heavy laden? "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest." Now, what an offer is that? I will give you rest? You're going to give me rest from my worries, my cares, my burdens, these horrible toils that I have to deal with all the time? Is there rest for the weary? Well, the answer is yes. The answer is yes, but only in Jesus Christ. It's only in Jesus Christ. Here's the invitation. Come unto me. You want a change in your life? You want a release from the anxieties, cares, burdens, worries, the distresses, the fretfulness, the fearfulness, the haunted vexations? Do you want rest? Rest in this world and eternal peace? Then here's the answer. Come unto me, Jesus said. We have to come to the Lord. Only in Jesus. Only in Jesus is there rest.
That's right.
And you know, he bids all to come. Notice verse 28. "Come unto me, some of you."
No, all of you.
"A few of you." "Come unto me, all ye that labor." If it's an invitation to all, if it's an invitation to all, then it has to be that peace, that rest is available to all.
Right.
If they would respond to this offer from the Lord. Amen. He calls them to himself. "Come to me. I'll give you rest." So this means, how many of you believe the Lord would make an insincere offer? That he would offer somebody something that he really didn't intend to give them? Or do you believe the Lord is sincere?
Yes.
So if he said, "All ye that labor," does that mean all could potentially come?
Amen.
All could respond?
Yes.
All could believe?
Yes.
I believe the Lord is absolutely sincere. And he calls all to come. He calls all to come. I also want us to see that the responsibility to come is on us. The responsibility is on us. We must come to him. He calls. He calls. We must come. He beckons. We must follow. Y'all awake?
Amen.
The call is to all. And this is repeated elsewhere in the scriptures. John 7:37, the Bible says, "In that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried." That is, he shouted aloud. Now imagine, this is one of the great feasts, and he stands up to this big crowd, and he says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Come unto me. There's the call. Come unto me. It reminds me of Isaiah 55 and verse 1, where we're invited to come without money. Come without price. Come without money. Come without price. come without merit. Because let me tell you, when you come to the Lord, it's not like you bringing money in your hands and saying, you know, is the Lord going to accept me because I'm going to give him 20 bucks, 100 bucks, a big check? No, come without money. Come without price. There is no admission fee. Come to him without merit. That is, you come not claiming your merits. Lord, you should really be glad to get me coming because I'm such a good person. You come without merit. You come without pride. You know, it's amazing the things we let our pride interfere with. The fact that we won't make a public confession of faith. The fact that sometimes we don't want to really be identified as a Christian. Don't want to lift our hands and worship because of what other people might think. I had a tough time getting over that, you know, getting my hands up. I remember the first time I started trying it. It took a while before my hands started. Praise God. I don't care what anybody thinks. Come without pride. Come without merit. Come without preparation. The idea of coming without preparation is don't make excuses and say, you know, I'm just not good enough yet. I've got things I've got to straighten out in my life before I come to the Lord. Before I really come to him, before I really come and commit my life to the Lord. There's so many things I have to fix in my life. So many things I have to change. Well, you know what? You come without preparation. You come to the Lord and let him fix it. We can't fix all the things that's broken in us. We can't fix it. And you'll spend your lifetime using that as an excuse. But if we'll come without preparation, come without merit, come without pride, come without excuse. Let the Lord do his work in us. Amen. His invitation is to come. There's an old song we used to sing in the Baptist church. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Amen. Calling for you and for me. Remember that song?
Yeah.
See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. And the chorus is, come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home. Right here in Matthew 11 and verse 28, come unto me. Come unto me. The Greek scholars tell us that the tense of this word is, it conveys the sense of urgency. Come. When he says come, he doesn't mean come eventually. He doesn't mean come, you know, when you're in a better mood or whatever. Doesn't mean come at a better time or more convenient time in your life. The idea is, it's urgency is conveyed here. It means come now. Come now. Don't delay.
Amen.
That's the sense that's conveyed in this passage. Come. Why would we put off something we need to do right now?
Right.
Come without delay. And you know, don't mistake here putting one thing in the place of another, because it's possible to come to church and still not come to Christ. It's possible to come to a religious institution and not come to Christ. It's possible to come and take communion. It's possible to come and be baptized and still not really come to Christ with your whole heart, with your whole self. It's possible to join a church and still not come to Christ. Man, you can join several churches and still not be a Christian.
That's right.
The call is to come to him. He says, come unto me. He doesn't just say come to religion or come to a denomination, but come unto me. He's the only way, you know.
You're right.
He didn't say, He didn't say any denomination was the way. He said, I'm the way.
Amen.
And while, praise God, a good church can lead you to Christ, you can come to church and not go to Christ.
Right.
So, we got to go to the one who makes the offer. Come unto me. And if you stop just for a minute and think about how incredible it is that the God of the universe, the Almighty, eternal God of the universe, bids us come to Him. Because you know Jesus, who makes this offer, according to John 1:1, is the one from the beginning who created it all. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God.
Amen.
The Bible tells us everything was created by Him. Everything was created for Him. And down in verse 14 of John 1:1, it tells you who the Word is, because it says, and the Word became flesh. God became man. And the one who created it all invites you and me to come to Him personally. It's a personal invitation. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 says, come now, come, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they'll be as wool. Or I mentioned Isaiah 55. I really like Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Ye that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. What he offers free. He calls us to come, and he offers it free. Come unto me, all you that labor. So with this wonderful offer from the Lord of all the universe, what prevents us, what hinders us from coming to Him in faith and repentance? What is it that causes us to delay in submitting to Him, in surrendering our all to Him? Is it doubt? Is it fear? Are we struggling with unbelief? Is it that it's just not a convenient time for me to become a Christian and to really submit all to the Lord? I mean, what will people think? Are you afraid of being mocked? Or are you afraid of persecution? Is it just that you don't want to give up the sins of the world, the things of the world? You know that if you come to Jesus, you're going to be leaving some people behind, some old friends, maybe the old gang who's just going to part company with you.
Amen.
Are you afraid of what it will cost? You know, when you ask the question, what keeps people, really? What keeps them from coming to the Lord? The answer is simple. Those who do not come have chosen not to. That's the bottom line. Whatever excuse they offer, whatever tactic, it boils down to that. Those who do not come to the Lord have chosen not to.
Amen.
Remember what He told the Jews. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Matthew chapter 23. How often I would have gathered you to myself, but you would not come. You would not. You chose not to. You resisted. You were not willing. Or John chapter 5 and verse 40, a very sober verse, where He says, and you would not come to me that you might have life. You would not. That is, you chose not to come to me. It was your will not to. John 5:40. Here is an invitation by Christ to Christ. And it's an invitation to each and every one of us. It's an invitation you see throughout the Scripture. All the way back, the last book of the Bible, the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's a call throughout Scripture. Amen. All ye that labor, notice that's our text, verse 28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The picture here, laboring, those that are heavy laden, those that labor, are the fatigued, those who are weighed down, weary, tired, exhausted from carrying heavy burdens. And sometimes that heavy burden is not necessarily a big package they're carrying on their back, but it could just be the burden of trial, of trouble, of affliction, of grief, of sorrow. Those who are heavy laden, those who are burdened, they're carrying heavy burdens, laden down with all sorts of care. And this is what he promises. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. So many burdens, so many cares, so many problems, so many things that could cause you to be anxious and stressed. And the Lord makes a promise. I want us to believe the Lord's promise when he says, I will give you rest. I will give it to you. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't deserve it. And you can't get it anywhere else. Amen. I will give you rest. That's the only place it can come from. Rest of heart, rest of mind, rest of soul, peace in your spirit. The simple knowledge that it's going to be okay.
That's right.
That no matter what goes on in this world, in my life, the Lord is with me, the Lord is for me.
That's right.
I come to him, I put my burdens on him. It's going to be all right.
Amen.
What's the worst that can happen? The worst thing that you can imagine happening is what? You graduate to glory? That's going to happen anyway, you know.
Amen.
I mean, it's just inevitable.
Amen.
I will give you rest. Peace with God, and then the peace of God. The Greek scholars tell us that this rest speaks of refreshing, of rejuvenation, but it also speaks of the peace of eternal rest, eternal peace, eternal joys. You know, it's a rest from striving also to try and earn your salvation, to try and be good enough. Because I'll tell you what, we're not good enough. We can't get there on our merits. We're not good enough. It's a rest from striving to earn the divine favor. You know, maybe if I say enough prayers,
yeah,
if I go on this pilgrimage, you know, it's some striving, trying to earn something. That it's a rest from all of that, knowing that Jesus paid it all. He paid it all. And he calls us to believe him. Believe that he paid the full price. He left nothing for you to pay. He paid it all. The blood of Jesus was adequate. The sacrifice of Christ was sufficient. So the price for your salvation, forgiveness, eternal life has been paid, and it's been stamped, paid in full, stamped with the blood of Christ himself, paid in full, paid in full. He didn't just make a deposit and, you know, you pick up the notes or you pay monthly installments. No, he paid it all. So it's the rest of knowing, I really don't have to earn this. I don't have to earn my forgiveness. I don't even have to deserve it. Because Jesus really did pay it all for me. He paid it all for me. So that what do I do? Well, you've come to Jesus, now rest in the fact that he paid it all. Rest in the knowledge that you're washed in the blood of Calvary. And if ever you stumble, if ever you fall, if ever you feel guilty and shameful, then go back to that fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Then it's just going back, Lord Jesus, wash me afresh, wash me clean again.
Amen.
Y'all awake? What a rest it is to know my salvation is bought and paid for. I'm not making installments. That's a rest. You know, when he promises rest, he's not talking here about partial rest or incomplete rest. Because he's talking about the rest, the peace that God gives. Verse 29 in our text here, he says, "You will find rest unto your souls." That's an interesting expression, actually, rest unto your souls. You may recognize that you read it before in Jeremiah chapter 6:16, where Jeremiah said, "Thus says the Lord, stand you in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, and where is the good way, and walk ye therein, and you'll find rest for your souls." Same expression, you'll find rest for your souls. The Lord was quoting at least partially from Jeremiah 6:16 right here. You'll find rest for your souls by how? By walking in the right way, walking in the truth, walking the narrow road, walking in the light of the Scriptures.
Amen.
So here's our text. Take my yoke upon you. Verse 29. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest unto your souls. So, you know, this is not only a call to come to the Lord, it's a call to be yoked. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. It's a call to be yoked to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the ancient world, a yoke would have been a common sight. Because, you know, they didn't have tractors and trucks.
That's right.
But you know what they did have? Big animals.
That's right.
And slaves. And you know how they got them to pull their burdens? Instead of having trucks, they would have a big cart. And it would be hitched to a pair of oxen that had a yoke around their necks. The yoke went from neck to neck. It was two animals. They'd be yoked together. And side by side, they were the trucks. They would pull those big, heavy wagons and carts. They would pull the big stones of the grist mill. The yoke animals, they would be oxen, they would be donkeys, or sometimes they were slaves. That also men would be yoked together to work like an animal worked. So a yoke, you know how often you see a truck out? How often you see trucks? Everywhere. Well, that's how common the yoke was in the ancient world. The yoked animals, yoked people. It was everywhere. Very common sight, very ordinary sight. Now, a yoke was not an emblem of liberty, happiness. It was not a symbol of joy, of excitement or entertainment. No, everybody knew what a yoke was.
Yes.
A yoke was an emblem of servitude, of toil, of labor, of heavy burden. So when the Lord says, "Come take my yoke," this seems almost paradoxical, because he says, "Take my yoke." Everybody knows what that means. But he says, "Take my yoke and you'll find rest." That doesn't make any sense. Because rest is the opposite of a yoke. Y'all awake, right?
Yes.
Everybody knew what a yoke was, and everybody knew who bore the yoke. The animals bore the yokes. The slaves bore the yokes. The rich did not have yokes. Or at least they didn't know they did. The important, the famous, the movers and shakers, they didn't wear a yoke, but they were just as burdened.
Amen.
As others. It was just a different kind of burden.
That's true.
Burdened by sin, burdened by guilt and shame and
yeah.
Fears and uncertainties. You know, Rich or poor, everybody carries a yoke. Everybody bears a yoke. The Lord here is not saying you won't have a yoke. What he is saying is, which yoke will you bear? Will you bear a yoke of sin, self-will, independence, self-righteousness? Which yoke will you bear? Or will you bear his yoke?
Amen.
You think about it, everybody's yoked in some kind of way. Yoked to something. Especially you look at the lost. As the Lord would look out at those faces and see those crowds so heavy laden with burdens and cares, people are yoked today. You see it in their faces, yoked by alcohol, in bondage to drugs, whether they're illegal or legal drugs, in bondage to so many things. People yoked to their past. I had to deal not long ago with a person who was so bound up by their past that they had no present and no future, because it robbed them, because they were just so hung up on something that happened so many years ago they couldn't get past it.
Amen.
Some are yoked, they get yoked to such bitterness and resentment that it poisons their present life. You got to let things go, beloved. You have to forgive. You have to get past these things, or it poisons you now. It poisons you now. And we're not serpents. We don't have a poison sack, you know. So you can't isolate poison from the rest of you. It poisons your personality. It poisons your attitude. It poisons your outlook on life.
Amen. You're right.
It's true.
I know that there are those who were hurt or wounded or offended years ago, and still they deal with these memories as though it was as fresh as yesterday.
Yep.
Somebody offended them. Somebody hurt them. They can't get it out of their mind. They can't get past it.
Yep.
I mean, they are yoked.
You're right. Yeah.
They just don't know that it's a bondage that holds them yoked. You know, the Lord breaks those yokes.
Yes, he
breaks those yokes if we will come to him and lay those burdens at his feet. Lord, these injuries, these wounds, these hurts. Well, I can't carry this. You were not intended to carry that throughout life. The Lord says, you come to me. All you burdened, you heavy laden, whatever this is. But you don't know the life that I lived, Brother Rusty. I was not a good person. I was a terrible person. I did a lot of terrible things. Well, you know what? He says, all ye who are burdened and heavy laden, all ye, whatever that burden was, whatever your past has been, you know what the Lord tells to you? Come. Come. He doesn't say, no, not you. I didn't mean you. No, he calls all. Whosoever will you come? Will you lay that burden down? He will forgive. He will cleanse. He will change. He will heal. He calls you, he invites you to a burden exchange. You lay your burden down. Take my yoke. Take my yoke. I have also seen people yoked to such sadness in their life because of some grief that they suffered in the past. Loss of a loved one, divorce, or some other terrible tragedy that occurred in their life, and they are so yoked now to sadness, to despair, to almost a hopeless outlook on life, it's become a part of their personality. They see no sunshine. It's kind of like a slave who was yoked. A slave with a yoke on his shoulders, yoked to another slave. Every day is the same, another day of toil, another day of pain, another day of pulling this heavy burden. They see no sunshine.
You're right.
It's not like they go outside and say, what a beautiful day.
Right.
Praise no. God. Well, you know, that's what a yoke does to you. When you're carrying that yoke, that kind of yoke, that yoke of servitude, that yoke of bondage and oppression and vexation, It's hard to be thankful.
Amen.
It's hard to praise. It's hard to sing. It's hard to open up your Bible and even read. You know, if you'll bring yourself to the Lord, just,
Amen.
Lord, here I am. Lord, break this yoke of bondage off of me, this sadness, this despair. Psalms 55, verse 22. Listen to this verse. Cast thy burden on the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved.
Thank you, Lord.
Cast your burden on the Lord. You know what it means? You take it to him. Don't take it to somebody else. They can't carry it.
You're right.
They can't bear it.
Amen.
Bring it to the Lord. One version translates that verse, turn your burdens over to the Lord,
Amen.
And he will take care of you.
Thank you, Lord.
Another one says, give your worries to the Lord, and he will care for you. Cast thy burden on the Lord. Now, in the ancient times, you know, picture a person carrying a heavy, heavy, heavy load. And when the Lord says you cast that burden on the Lord, the picture is you take it off.
Amen.
You quit carrying it. You lay it down. It's as though a man were carrying a load of bricks on his back and he says, there's the truck. Let me just put that in the truck. Let the truck carry it. No burden for the truck. Why would you carry this load you were never intended to carry?
Amen.
Cast thy burden on the Lord, whatever the affliction, the care, the trial. Lay it on the Lord.
Amen.
Promises, he will sustain thee. Good old King James language. He will sustain thee. It means he'll carry you and your burden.
Thank you, Lord.
Brother Vic used to lead us in a song, take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen.
Leave it there. Don't take it back with you.
That's right.
Take it to the Lord and leave it right there. Or how about 1 Peter 5:7? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
Amen.
Do you realize how profound that is? Casting all your care, the whole of it, upon the Lord. For he careth for you. This tells us that God cares. He cares for you. He cares for you personally. He cares for you individually. He's not indifferent to our plight.
That's right.
He's not indifferent to our afflictions. He's not ignorant of our pains, our sorrows, our suffering. Our God cares.
Thank you, Lord.
He's not like the gods of the heathen. The heathen gods, they were totally indifferent. The gods of the Romans and the Greeks, they were a farce.
That's right.
But you serve a God who cares. When he calls you to take up his yoke, do you realize that he's calling you to be yoked to the God who cares for you? That the one that walks by your side sharing this yoke is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He calls you to be yoked to him. And let me tell you, he's not going to be unequally yoked.
That's right.
Doesn't mean we have to be perfect, because we can't be perfect. But we have to be in step with him.
Amen.
We have to be walking with him. Because, you know, they didn't yoke unequal animals. They couldn't, because it would defeat the purpose. They would yoke two big oxen. They didn't yoke an oxen to a little bitty donkey. That wouldn't work. The Lord tells us not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, because we're going in two different directions. They have one direction, we have another. So we're to be yoked to a believer. And the Lord calls us to be yoked to him. And the one you're yoked to cares for you. The one who calls the stars by name. The one who knows when a sparrow falls. The one who says he knows every hair on your head. He sees you, he knows you, and here's what he tells us, he cares for you.
Thank you, Lord.
He cares for you. He's not a distant, indifferent, aloof God, but one caring for you, yoked to you. Hey, can I have you look to another passage of Scripture with me? I'm going to keep your finger right here, but I would like for you to turn with me to Psalms 40. I want to look at a verse over here, Psalms 40. I love this verse. Psalms 40. And verse 17. Psalms 40, 17. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. The prayer of David. Listen to it again. Psalms 40, verse 17. I am poor and needy. Literally, it reads here, I am afflicted and poor. The idea here is, I have nothing to offer him. I have nothing to offer him. I have nothing to recommend me to him. I am poor and needy. Yet, the Lord thinketh upon me.
Thank you, Lord.
The word here means he remembers me. The Lord remembers me. He considers me. He cares about me. In fact, one version translates it, he has me in mind.
Amen.
Men may forsake us. God will not. Men may forget you. God will not. It says here, he thinks upon me. He remembers you. He doesn't forget you. Men may reject you. A spouse may reject you. They may cast you out. People may scorn you. They may reject all knowledge of you. They may even delight in causing you pain. But God never will. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. First Peter 5, 7, he careth for you. He cares for you.
Thank
now look, this should be to us a thought of really unspeakable comfort.
Yes.
The thought that we're always in God's thoughts. We're always in God's mind.
Yes.
He never forgets us.
Always.
Thou thinketh upon me. He says, Psalms 27 and verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me. Now here's a thought that's unthinkable. That a father or mother would forsake their own child. But here's what he says. Even if something like that would happen, yet the Lord will take me up. The Lord will not forget you. The Lord will not forsake you. Isaiah 49 and verse 15, can a woman forget her suckling child that she should not have compassion on the child of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but here's what God says, yet I will not forget you.
Thank you, Lord.
I will not forget you.
Oh,
so here's the call, Matthew 11, verse 29, bear his yoke. Take my yoke upon you. Walk with him. We walk with him side by side. He says, I'll give you rest. Take that burden to the Lord. Leave it there. And then he says, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Lowly of heart. I am meek, humble, gentle. Many versions translate it gentle. And lowly of heart literally means without pride. I am without pride. Humble in spirit, humble in heart. He calls us to take up his yoke. That means be his disciple. That means walk as he walked. Remember, we're yoked to him now. We're walking alongside him now. He's walking alongside us. So we're to be like him.
Amen.
Without pride.
Yes.
Humble. Following him. Living by his example. Living by his word. Let's get rid of our self-importance, our pride, our self-will, worried about what other people are going to think. All this pompous, haughty, arrogant. Remember, that's the devil's DNA. That's not from the Lord. I am gentle and without pride. That's what he says. I'm gentle and without pride. Will you follow him? He said, my burden's easy. It's light. It's not hard if you're willing to follow the Lord. But we have to come to him. And I want to mention one other thing this morning about taking his yoke. You know, the idea of taking the yoke means carrying the load. You're doing it. You're pulling. You're working. We're not trying to earn our salvation in any way, manner, shape, or form. But you know, the Lord wasn't lazy. He didn't lay around and let other people do it.
Amen.
He wasn't a spectator.
Right.
When he calls you to take his yoke, he's calling you to labor. Calling you to labor right alongside him. Paul even said it. We're laborers together with Christ. We're not out here doing it on our own. We're laboring with Christ. He is laboring with us. You know, when you're carrying the load, it means you're more than just a spectator.
Amen.
He calls us to take the yoke. That means we're about the Lord's business.
Amen.
It's easy to just come and watch. It's easy to just be a religious spectator, but the Lord doesn't call us to be spectators. He calls us to take my yoke. Everybody knows what a yoke means, right?
Yes.
Servitude, toil, labor, busy about the Lord's business. Take my yoke. So that leaves a question for us. How are we taking the Lord's yoke? What are we doing to help bear the yoke? In whatever way we serve, we're carrying the yoke. We're progressing the kingdom of heaven in whatever way we serve. It doesn't have to be anything prominent. It can be something simple. It doesn't even have to be anything in the public eye. I believe when we pray for one another, pray for the body of Christ, pray for all Christian causes, we are bearing the yoke. Because the Lord, he prayed. He said his house was to be called a house of prayer.
That's right.
So we should be men and women of prayer. And as we pray, when we pray, we are in that way helping to carry the load, the burden. We are yoked to the Lord because he's burdened for a lost world. He's burdened for our brothers and sisters. He's burdened for our children. So we're bearing the yoke when we pray for one another. When we encourage one another. When you call that brother or sister you haven't seen in a while, you know what you're doing? Bearing one another's burdens. Just like the Lord tells us to do. Bear one another's burdens. Call that brother up. Encourage him. That sister you haven't seen lately. Call somebody. The Lord puts people on our minds all the time. That's part of carrying the load. You know, when you give financially, that's part of carrying the yoke.
You're right.
Whether you're giving to missions to help support them in their labors on the foreign field or home field or the ministry of the local church, that's all part of carrying the yoke.
Right.
Look, lots of people are spectators.
Yeah.
But the Lord doesn't call us to be spectators. He calls us to put His yoke on us. His burden. What is His burden? His burden's for lost world.
Right.
His burden's for hurting people. His burden's for the body of Christ. Remember, He died for the church, the Bible says. We should be burdened for these things. Y'all awake?
Amen.
And you know, as we take up the Lord's burden, we find verse 30 is true, that it's not heavy because the Lord's laboring alongside of us. We're doing His work. We're doing His will. It's not oppressive. It's not the world's yokes that vex the soul and the heart and the mind. It's the yoke of the Lord that actually we find rest in it. We find purpose in it. We find meaning in it. We find fulfillment in it. In whatever way, we help carry the yoke. Is there rest for the weary? That was our question today. Is there rest for the weary? Yes, there's rest for the weary. But it's only in Christ. It's only in the yoke of true discipleship. The Lord's called us to be a disciple. It's only in the yoke of true Christian faith, trusting with all of your heart.
Amen.
You know, just cast all the questions, the doubts, the fears to the side and put your faith and confidence in the Lord. All the burden that you've been carrying, the worry, the fear, the despair, the things that vex your heart and mind and soul, whatever that weight is, whatever that burden is that has robbed you of your joy, robbed you of sleep too many times, whatever that is, you know, you can unburden yourself by casting it by faith on the Lord in prayer. And then leave it there. Leave it right there. The Lord will carry you. He says He will sustain you. He says He cares for you. Cast your burden on the Lord and then take His yoke. That's the yoke of discipleship. He calls you to come, so you say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here to unburden my soul, to unload this burden, and Lord, to take up the cross, to take up your burden. Let me follow you, Lord. Let me walk with you, Lord. Let me serve you, Lord, with all of my heart. Let me get rid of all my doubts, fears, questions, reservations. Let me just serve you today and forever. Again, the call to come doesn't mean come one day. Doesn't mean come eventually or come before you die. It means come now. The call is urgent. Can we pray? Father, we bow our heads and our hearts today. Lord, we hear your call, the call to come to you without reservation, without excuse. Lord, help us one and all to respond to that call. And Lord, we say that we come to you. We come without money. We come with nothing to offer you. Lord Jesus, we come with all of our burdens, the weights, the cares, the heaviness, the sin. Lord, whatever has been so heavy on our shoulders, on our hearts, all the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, all the hurt, bitterness of mind and soul, resentments. Lord, we confess it all as sin. And Lord, right now, by an act of our will, we lay it down, Lord. We cast it down in the name of Jesus. We cast it down. We cast it at your feet. Lord, we thank you that you tell us that we can lay all these burdens down, that you care for us. And Lord, we know that you care for those that we care for. Lord Jesus, we put our faith, our trust, our confidence in you. Your promise to cleanse us from every sin, to wash us white, to deliver us from the vexations of the evil one, and to enable us to walk a life of peace and joy and victory with you. Lord, help us even now as we choose your yoke. We choose it, Lord. We leave our old bondages behind, and we choose your yoke, Lord Jesus, to walk with you, to walk in truth, in paths of righteousness, the straight and narrow, the old paths. And Lord, we thank you that you walk right alongside us, a yoke mate, that you enable us to overcome every trial, every difficulty, every obstacle, every fearful thing, Lord, knowing that we are yoked to you, Lord,
yes,
and that you care. You care, Lord Jesus, for each and every one of us, that you think on us, Lord. You remember us. This, Lord, for this, we rejoice. We give you thanks. We give you praise.
Yes, Lord.
Now and forever. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. 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 Praise God.
Faithful God.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.